Praise the Lord, everybody. Sister Hoffman, thank you so much for inviting me to be the taster and the judge at this international fest. That's why I'm here. Not really. I'm very, very honored today to be here because I want to honor a friend, a fine man of God, a man that I respect, and a woman that is beside his side, and that they work so well together. Thank God for all of you. When Brother Portman said what he said, that his yes affected his eternity, that I hope you caught that. And I'm just absolutely thrilled to no end to see how well that Brother Portman is walking and coming up these steps and so forth. God be praised. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I know one morning I was in prayer and God specifically told me, said, call Brother Portman, that he's struggling right now. And it wasn't because of his pain in his leg. I just felt emotionally he was struggling. And I called him. And I believe God ministered to you that day, not because I called you, but I'm telling you, you know, this thing about living for God, this is not about just showing up on Sunday or Wednesday or amen. It's a 24/7, 365 or 66 days, whatever year we're in, amen, because God is interested in every one of us in our life, amen. This is not about religion. It is all about our walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's always an honor to be at Apostolic Faith Church. I'm glad my wife is with me today. Amen. Praise God. And I certainly am glad that my friend is turning 75 tomorrow. I leaned over to him during the song service and I said, well, I came a day early because before you fossilized. And so, no. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of John, the third chapter of John. Amen. And this dinner is going to be so good that afterwards, Brother Portman wants you all to know that after this dinner, there is birthday cake for everybody. And if you don't show up and eat it, I'll do your favor. But I love birthday cake. Guess you couldn't tell. I love birthday cake. So, amen. But praise God. They wanted me to make that announcement. Sister Courtney's going, amen. Third chapter of John. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, not just your ordinary individual, not just a man that was persuaded by Judaism, but he was a ruler. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was part of the ruling council of all of Israel. He was a part of those that were both Sadducees and Pharisees. A ruler of the Jews. Verse 2 says, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He didn't say, I just know. He said, we know That ruling body of Israel, the same ones that later would demand his death and his crucifixion, they all knew that this man could not do what he did except God be with him. In the last chapter of this same gospel, John writes in the very last verse of the gospel, in verse 25. He says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." And everybody said, amen. In your hearing this morning, I want to preach to you this morning about now, look what you've done. Now, look what you've done. Would you put your Bibles down and would you uplift your hands and your voices to God? And would you just ask him, Lord, would you please speak to my spirit today? Would you please indeed help me to go another day further, another week further, another year further? Father, I praise your greatness. I thank you that we're here to honor a great man of yours, God. And I pray that you bless him with good health and strength. But I'm asking right now, God, that you, dear Lord God, would look over your people. And I pray, dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit, dear Lord God, would come down and reach into the depths of hearts and lives and minds and wills. And I pray that you would be ever glorified and honored and spoke, dear Lord God, well outside of these walls and on beyond. We love you and we thank you, God, and we look to you right now in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Oh, yes, church, clap your hands. Amen. Shout out to God. Now look what you've done. Hallelujah. You may be seated. 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That decree came with the enlightening revelation and definition defined as God with us. In a dream, those same words were given to Joseph, the espoused husband of Mary. The message in the dream was profound, that the creator of the universe would take up residence in a body, which would be called the Son of God. And that individual was to possess all power and all authority, to which Jesus emphatically proclaimed in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." God's physical coming to earth was the precise fulfillment of Isaiah's centuries-old prophecy. "For unto us a child is born," Isaiah 9:6. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. How many know that we're still living in the forever part of that verse? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It was the same Jesus at the age of 30 that went to a wedding feast in Cana. The host of the party had run out of wine and desperately needed to be replenished. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was told by an angel, who was confirmed by a cousin that this child was not going to be your ordinary child. The mother of Jesus told the household servants, whatsoever he, speaking of Jesus, saith unto you, do it. My friend, I would suggest today that that still goes for you and I today. Whatever he tells us to do, we better do it. Amen. Jesus instructed those servants. I always think that God has such a wonderful sense of humor. He instructed those servants to fill the foot washing pots with water and then go and serve their contents to the guests. But when that water was poured out, it was not what was put in. In fact, what was dispersed was the best wine of the whole feast. I'm sure the host, with a big smile on his face, was greatly relieved from the possible embarrassment, hearing the approving comments, amen, from the assembled guests that they were thrilled that the best wine of the party, amen, came from those jars just at the time they were needed. Evidently, there was a distinct difference in the taste of what wine from that had previously been served. And that distinction was the result of the miraculous action of Jesus Christ. Church, in that scene, can't you just picture a proud, smiling mother? That's my boy. A proud, smiling mother standing in the midst of those assembled guests after witnessing her son's action and probably saying to herself, now, look what you've done. Believe me, I've had that same statement spoken to me more times than I would like to admit. How about you? Usually, however, it was said in a negative sense. It usually expressed to me after I've done something pretty stupid. But like most situations in life, there is usually a positive and a negative response assessed to most actions, based upon any given person's perception of what has taken place. How many times have we heard of different people that reported on a traffic accident that they had witnessed and several others witnessed, only to end up just with as many perceptions as to what actually happened as there were people? Webster defines perception as a result of perceiving or observation, a mental image, a concept. Folks, judgments many times are solely based on people's perceptions rather than on facts. Jesus went boldly onto the temple grounds, and there he witnessed the money changers exchanging their secular coins for acceptable temple coins. He witnessed those that sold approved sacrificial animals that were to be sacrificially offered on the brazen altar. In John 2 and 15 tells us Jesus made a whip, amen, from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle and scattered the money changers' coins over the floor and turned over their tables. Boy, that sounds like a really peaceful guy, doesn't it? Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, get these things out of here, turning my father's house into a marketplace. Church, I'm sure the perception that day there at the temple by the temple priests was, now look what you've done. They perceived Jesus' action as being something negative. But folks, I know his followers, his disciples, looked at that action with a sense and an act of his power and his authority, that it was his house that he was defending. Now, look what you've done. Jesus directed. He directed his disciples to go to Samaria, a place where half Jews and half Gentiles resided, a place the Jews did not desire to go, and nor did the Gentiles. Jesus sent his disciples to go on into the city to buy food while he sat on the side of the city's well, waiting. Isn't it amazing how patient our God is? How long did God wait for you? Think about it. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40. How long did he wait for you? I'm telling you, I could have died several times, and so could have you prior to finding him. But he waited for us, my friend. I think all of us could put our hands together and thank him for waiting for us. Amen. His own disciples didn't understand why he would sit there, let alone he was just waiting for a particular Samaritan woman who was coming to draw water from the well. Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. She was surprised. She was absolutely shocked. Amen. That a Jew wouldn't even dare even to talk to her. She then stated the obvious. She said, well, you don't even have anything here to draw with. But Jesus responded to her, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to. I don't know who all I'm speaking to today. If you're visiting here at Apostolic Faith Church this morning, I'm telling you, many times we don't comprehend who really God is. We only look at a structure like this as to be, it's a church. My friend, it's more than just a church. It is the church of the living God. And it is he, through his word, that he speaks to all of us. He said, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Again, a difference in the taste of the water. It becomes a fresh, bubbling, effervescent spring within them, giving them eternal life. During that dialogue, Jesus expressed to her the woman's need. He told her what she had need of. He rehearsed her story. You've had five husbands, and the one you're married to now is not your husband. I mean, he read her pedigree. And don't look too smug, my friend. If God wanted to, he could display every one of our pedigrees all over every place. He gave her her need. He told her her story. And he revealed to her his identity. John 4 and 25, the woman said, I know. She said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Can you imagine seeing her face? Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Upon that revelation, she leaves the scene and goes and challenges the whole town with her testimony about her encounter with Jesus. I wish to God all of us would continue to do that. Amen. After our encounter with the Master, that we would still go into the highways and the byways and challenge others. Amen. About what the Lord has done. And after that encounter, they all came, a good multitude from the town came to see Jesus and hear him speak. And after their encounter with him, they stated to the woman in the 42nd verse of John 4, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know. Is there anybody in this house that now knows? Amen. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Their true perception was, now look what you've done. For the Lord's ministry now spoke of involving not just Jews, but Gentiles, Samaritans, and the whole world. The Lord's forerunner, John the Baptist, he was put in prison. And John was wanting to make sure he had fulfilled what had been prophesied about him to do. For he was the one to announce the identity of the coming Messiah. But now placed in prison, even though he had baptized or had immersed Jesus, fulfilling the law, he instructed two of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him, are you the Messiah, or should we continue to look for another? But Jesus said to them in Luke 7, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Brothers and sisters, everywhere Jesus went, amen, there were amazing testimonies left behind of what he had done. He healed a royal official's son. He delivered a demoniac in Capernaum. He caused Peter and John to catch a large sum of fish. He cleansed lepers. He healed the paralyzed. He raised the widow's son from the dead. He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He healed a woman. He healed a woman with eternal bleeding. He raised Jairus' daughter. He healed the blind. He fed 5,000 and 4,000 men and their families with just a small amount of food. He walked on water. He told Peter to go fish. And he caught the first thing with a needed gold coin in his mouth. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He cursed a fig tree that withered and died. He restored a severed ear of a temple guard. No wonder Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know. Do you know? Do you know that thou art a teacher come from God? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. In every act of his power and authority, he caused glorious change. Every individual was changed as a result of his power. Everyone could look at what took place and say, now look what you've done. Folks, just look around the room. Look around the room right now. Amen. Why don't you just stand up right now and take a good look around this room right now? Come on. Amen. For for some of you, if you can stand up. Amen. Look around this room. Come on, take a good look at your brothers and sisters. Amen. Look at every individual. Amen. Every individual. Praise God. Look what the Lord has done, folks. Just look around the room right now. Tell me. Tell me. What was your story? You can be seated. I'm sorry if you thought I was done. What was your story? I just coming through the lobby there, I saw a sign supporting Mother's Memorial. It says, "My story." Every one of us have a story. Every one of us do. Man, we could be here from now until next Sunday for each one to come up and give your story. Look what the Lord has done. Folks, amen. The Apostle Paul wrote about us. He did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Does that list describe any of your lives prior to the Master's touch? Huh? Well, I'm surprised that that's so few. But he didn't stop there. He finished this story. He said, "And such were some of us. But ye are washed." But ye are washed. Amen. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit, amen, of our God. How many of you could stand right now to your feet and shout out to God, "Now look what you've done!" Hallelujah! Church, this is not what we just have perceived. This is now what we know. Jesus has changed us. Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has delivered us. Jesus has made us a new creature in Him. Now look at what you've done. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Ten men with a dreaded disease of leprosy approached Jesus. They lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I guarantee you, bro, from the moment that you came to this church and God filled you with the Holy Ghost and you were baptized in Jesus' name, everything that you had ever done was under the blood. But I guarantee you, when you walked out of here, you didn't realize what really had taken place, other than that you were excited. And like many of us, you might have said, "Well, how can this be? How can I go into a water and be a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner? And and have the name of Jesus Christ that carries the blood of God. That name placed upon us. And we come out of that water. Changed. Different. When they started walking, all of a sudden, leprous sores were now cleansed. Appendages of fingers, of ears, of arms, of legs now reappeared. In just a moment of time. The scripture vividly points out that only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, anybody have a loud voice in here? Some of you might make it at a Packer game, but we're not at a Packer game. We're in the house of God. We are serving a Savior that deserves our best shout. We are serving a Savior that deserves our best praise. Glory to God in the highest. With a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at the Lord's feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, look what you've done. Brothers and sisters, guests here today, when was the last time that you have revisited that moment when Jesus changed the story of your life? When was the last time that you fell to your knees and lifted your hands and your voice loudly, thanking him for what he has done for you, in cleansing you from sin, in filling you with his promise, the Holy Ghost, in saving your family, in sustaining your health, in keeping your marriage, in blessing your finances, and in giving you fellow brothers and sisters right here in this assembly. And besides all that, he has, over time, matured your walk in him. I'm wondering how many of you right now recognize your need of offering a fresh thanksgiving to your Savior, shouting out, "Now look what you've done. Look what you've done. I know what I was. I know you knew what I was. But now, Lord, look what you've done." Every day around this globe, new stories are being written by that same power and authority. Why don't you let him write a new chapter in your life right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder John said, "And there are also many other things. There are also many other deeds. I'm looking at them right now." Amen. That should be written, everyone. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Hallelujah. Oh, why don't you start shouting to him? Now look what you've done, God. Now look what you've done. Now look what you've done. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.